Jeff, Jeff, Jeff. Jeff, 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 Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff, Jeff, Jeff.
Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert, noted author. You'll find his books over at Next Chapter Books over in St. Paul. Stop on over there by all the means. Also, TotallyIowa.com, the Iowa Business Report, and the Iowa Politics Report comes to us from KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo. And Jeff, hello. Welcome to the show once again.
Matthew, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You and I get to do the same show you and I have done a whole lot over the last 20 plus years. It's yet another gun slaughter in America. Once again, what is becoming an incredibly disturbing element of it, a slaughter of elementary young children in a classroom. Clearly, I mean, we are still within the day or so since this slaughter happened, but there definitely is a lot of angry people asking, why are we not doing anything to try to stop this at this point?
And the primary answer to that is you can't stop it, but you can contain it. There is no one good answer and one good resolution, because if there was, we'd have done it. It's not just guns, but that is a large part of it. It is not just mental health, but that is a large part of it. And no one wants to sit down and see where common ground is. I heard something, and you may know much more about this than I. I did not have time to look it up, but I heard reported last night that in the New York Times, Nicholas Kristof wrote a piece that suggested we need to reframe the whole discussion. And his suggestion was, we're never going to get anywhere if we keep talking about gun control, because that has now meant certain things to certain people on both sides. We need to talk about gun safety. And if, in fact, we're talking about something more than just a name change, that might be the way that you can get people from a broad cross-section of society to sit down and say, how do we make lives more safe? And that can take you to the next level of things to do with regard to weaponry, with regard to lack of proper mental health.
Here's where I'm going to completely and totally disagree with you on this, because I don't believe it's about making sure far-right gun nuts are their feelings aren't hurt in their boo-boo kitty time as they need a snuggle. We have slaughtered children. We have a military-grade assault weapon that was designed to go into a combat zone and kill human beings, taken into an elementary school, and they had to take DNA from parents to identify some of these children. Mm-hmm. There is this argument out there that the left is trying to take your guns. In this country, in 20 years, the only gun policy we've had is an expansion of more guns everywhere. Every single time. Laws get struck down, bills get passed to carry guns. I mean, in Texas, there are laws that allow teachers to carry guns in classrooms. For God's sakes, there was an officer armed at this school. That is the entire argument. Well, we got guns in the schools that will keep them safe. Both officers that confronted this guy were shot, and then he went on the slaughter. It's the guns themselves. And granted, I appreciate some of the Republicans out there who say, yes, this is a mental health issue. So then where's the damn bill for billions of dollars in investment in mental health care, as well as a database to prevent compromised mental individuals from getting weapons? Doesn't exist. It's easy to put out these, we need to regulate Facebook and video games, and oh, you need a Steve Kerr needs to be reined in. The reality is that we have done everything the conservative NRA way. And this is just getting worse and worse and worse. So maybe it is time for us to go to gun control, because for God's sakes, the guns everywhere method is not working.
Now, you'll notice nothing I said talked about any group, any faction, used any name calling at all, because I don't think the way we have been, this is where I do agree with you, discussing this issue in the way we have been is not working.
But the first person
finds some place. And to your point about where's the damn bill? Great. Where is it? Let's see a bill that can get a majority of votes on mental health. Let's see that, because it is a huge component of it. I respect the idea of saying, look, if this 18-year-old couldn't get two assault rifles, this wouldn't have happened. This particular manifestation would not have. Absolutely. But go back to the earlier point. You cannot prevent every bad thing. But what you can do...
but why are we the only country on the planet that this stuff happens in, for God's sakes?
I don't care about other countries on the planet. I want to take care of our country. I want to take care of our kids. With our history, with our set of laws and our Constitution. And I don't think you do it the way we have framed these two sides of an issue that each get more entrenched every single time. I'm simply saying you need to have a conversation that says, what we're doing isn't working. What are you trying to do? You want to protect kids in school? How do we do that? And work it back from there, as opposed to people just having veins pop out of their necks on all sides of the issue.
Because these kids deserve us to be angry about this. The families that are dealing with slaughtered children deserve this. Paul Gosar yesterday put out his first tweet, was about, it's a trans kid who's a leftist, who's basically an illegal immigrant, and he gunned down a bunch of kids. None of those things are true.
Right.
You know, I've sat here. For years, hearing the violent, ugly vitriol from the right about loony lefties trying to take our guns, jackbooted thugs, black helicopters, blah, 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 freaking blah. I have heard the vilification from the right constantly. And in the hours after, we're all saying, sweet Jesus, how do we sit here and say, you know, my God, these are young children. I am not on board with the idea that, you know, we need to make sure no one's feelings get hurt when we approach the table here. And I just am of the mindset that if we can't sit there and say, and it's really easy and convenient now to say no other country on the planet matters, because no other country on the planet has this problem. But the reality is there are gun laws written in Canada, Australia, lots of countries. You just don't have the slaughters. The slaughters are happening because guns are encouraged and put up on a pedestal. There is only one constitutional amendment that matters. We've seen the freedom of the press, freedom of protest, freedom of speech, all curtailed. We are seeing Roe v. Wade. They're revisiting liberty, for goodness sakes. We're seeing all these things. All these things can be whittled down, but what we have to do is look at the Second Amendment. The right to bear arms in order to form a well-regulated militia should not be infringed. We boil that down to three words, four words, right to bear arms, and that's it. And this is the lunacy of it all. We're not getting anything done because one political party is so completely bought and paid for by the gun and bullet industry that they are told to not do anything, and here we are. In the wake of another slaughter of young children, all the Republicans are saying we're not going to pass any legislation.
It is not that I'm not angry about the situation. It's that I'm just dreadfully tired of predictable responses, which is why I avoided all of the coverage last night beyond the news items of what happened, how many are affected, et cetera, because it just becomes predictable and it's not getting us anywhere. And there is plenty of blame to go around. If you're taking money from a gun interest and you are then acting in their interest and not the interests of young people, families, humans broadly, I don't think that's right. I also don't think it's right to just jump out and make certain calls for things before you even know what the facts of the situation are. You and I think, have agreed on one thing in the past on this, where I have said, show me a piece of legislation where you can say, see, by doing this limitation on weaponry, and by the way, I don't know why you need to get a gun the day you decide to buy one. All right. Go ahead and do all sorts of checks. What do I mean? That's fine. You know, if that's going to help, let's do that. But so many times you see too many people say we need to regulate this when that would not have impacted the situation at issue. So I just want people to have a conversation about it stops here, it stops now, and let's frame the conversation in a way that gets to the ultimate goal. Slaughtering children, not good. How do you protect children? Now let's walk it back from there. And I don't care, to your earlier point that you've made a couple of times and I respect it, I don't care about somebody's feelings getting hurt. I don't. I really don't. I'd like to see families not have to gather at a community center and meet privately with law enforcement where outsiders can hear them wailing afterwards, as happened last night when they got the news.
Two things here. One is we, as a country, we had Tylenol getting poisoned in like a handful of drugstores in the country.
Yep.
And we immediately sprang into action. We put in safety caps. We put in security cameras. We did all this stuff because a handful of people were killed by a psychopath poisoning Tylenol.
And to make your point stronger, the company pulled the stuff from the shelves immediately.
Yeah.
That was the first, because I remember that. It was mid-80s, I think, or late 80s. And they immediately said, we think this is isolated, but we are not going to take the chance.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You have the industry leading the charge.
Here's where that comes back then.
Mm-hmm.
You have here's the fatal flaw of America. We have the ability of a small handful of people, how many total executives and of the bullet manufacturers and the gun manufacturers are there? Maybe a few hundred total people that run these companies that have enough money to not only buy off every politician from a political party to basically get them in line and basically say, you're never going to pass a piece of legislation to regulate this, regardless of how many slaughters happen in elementary schools. And on top of it, can control the media narrative to where they basically, you know, convince people that if you stop people from slaughtering people and children in schools, well, that's a slippery slope. I mean, I'm saying I'm for slaughtering kids, but slippery slope, come on. And, you know, and that is, that's the fatal flaw, is that we have realized a small majority of people with a lot of money, or even one individual with a lot of money, can control an entire narrative of an issue when it's to the detriment of us as a society. Because let's face it, there's no sane society would sit here and consistently have gun slaughter after gun slaughter after gun slaughter, let alone gun slaughter after gun slaughter after gun slaughter in schools, and sit there and say, nothing we can do. I mean, because let's face it, everything we've done, I mean, guns in schools. I mean, we had a police officer there. It didn't stop this guy. There were guns in the school. There was a teacher, apparently, that had a license in the school to have a gun for this exact situation. Didn't stop the guy. Because these guns are made to kill human beings as quickly and as efficiently as possible. And henceforth, they should not be, assault weapons designed for a military combat should not be available to the public.
Okay, so now that's my question to you.
Yes.
Based upon, and I'm pleading ignorance because, again, not only did I have other things, I'm just tired of the back and forth, as I've already suggested. I don't know the specific weaponry used here other than a couple of weeks after the individual turned 18, he bought two rifles.
Rifles. They're calling them, they're AR platforms. They're assault weapons. They're assault weapons.
All right.
The rifle use of the name rifle is there to basically try to soften the image of it. It's not a rifle. A rifle's a Remington you use to say hunt a deer or an elk. Okay. And that's this guy went in there with a rifle. I was like, he's got a rifle? How is he able to kill this many people with a rifle that quickly? It doesn't work that way. And then it's like, oh no, it's an assault weapon. They just call it a rifle as, I guess, a way to say, well, we didn't sell them an assault weapon. We sold them a rifle.
Okay. And that's fair, because I have no background in firearms. I never served in the military. You did. And again, as we near Memorial Day, I appreciate the service of all who served, especially those who did not come back. My question to you is, what could have been done to prevent this? In other words, do you develop a category of weaponry that has no earthly purpose other than militia-style killings and such, and militia is not the right term because of the Second Amendment, but you understand what I'm saying. Is there a category where we could say, all right, this, I don't care if you call it a rifle, this isn't. There's no purpose. You can't use it for hunting, et cetera. It's only to be used by the U.S. government and military, and therefore you can't just buy it at Shields or Walmart.
I mean, a well-regulated militia. Well, it comes down to this. When anyone's sitting and designing a weapon, if you're designing a hunting weapon, you're designing a weapon to hunt whatever, deer, ducks, pheasant, whatever the case may be. Yeah. If you're, I have no problem with hunting weapons. I would never own one, but I personally don't have a problem with personal defense pistols, which have usually a chamber of 8 to 6 rounds, and you can basically, that are designed to basically be used in a limited self-defense mode. But still, trust me when I say this, a bullet comes out of there, it's going to do some damage. That being said, there are weapons that when the person sits down with a pencil and graph paper to start drawing this out, and probably showing my age, a computer program to start the design process. The purpose of that weapon is to be used to kill as many human beings as fast and as quickly as possible. That's a military grade weapon. So when you look at, when I was in the military, there were M16s. That was a weapon when someone sat down and said, this is a weapon that's going to be used by military people to kill other human beings, and they need to be able to do it efficiently because they're in a combat zone. That is what was used on these elementary school kids. And that, in my mind, I think you can make that delineation, what was designed for human beings, what's designed for hunting. I know a lot of pro-gun knuckleheads will sit there and say, well, I use it for hunting. No one uses an assault weapon for ducks or for deer. They don't, because the damage you're doing to the animal is, it makes it useless. So either you're a psychopath slaughtering animals out in the wild, or else you're just actually using an actual hunting weapon.
Okay, now, and that's where we get to, I hate to compare myself with the average person in this country. That's not fair to the average person in this country. They're much better. But there are people on far extreme sides of any debate. I don't know anything about guns. I like the fact that we have constitutional amendments to protect us from government. I also like the fact that kids aren't being killed in schools. So I think it's time to have a rational conversation that says, as you pointed out, this is a military-grade weapon that is designed to engage in the normal function of war, which is to kill people and break things. It's indelicate, but that's the fact.
Yes.
So, okay, are there ways that you can have weaponry that fits under the Second Amendment for whatever purposes that we've talked about, personal protection, hunting game, etc., that wouldn't be specifically designed for hunting humans? And I think if you describe it in that way,
yes,
you're going to get more people to be interested than any gun lobby money. But nobody is having that conversation. I mean, we're having this conversation today, and I hope the audience finds it helpful. But that's where you've got too many people on one side saying all or nothing, too many people on the other side saying all or nothing, and the rest of us are sitting here mourning the death of, you know, 24 people, nearly 24 families, never going to be the same.
Well, and I'll say this, the one side has not been able to stop anything. The left has not been able to stop the gun slaughter in this country. The right has controlled the entire argument, and there are more guns in this country than ever before. There's more guns. Was it 125 guns per every 100 people in this country? And we're not safer. So the policies of one side are what are derailing us. We got to take a break.
Look at this real quick.
We've got to get this break in. 952-946-6205. Take a break. I'll let you finish your point when you come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us. Jeff, I did interrupt you. Please go right ahead.
Oh, no. It was a very simple statement. Look what happened to the price of stocks of gun companies today. They shot up because of the fact that people are expected, when there's talk about, oh, we're going to take guns, people then irrationally act and go buy guns, even though they never wanted a gun. They just want to make sure they have one before it's taken away. And so speculators are bidding up the price of gun manufacturer stocks. Well, that doesn't make any sense either, does it? That the day after a tragedy like this, you're now buying stock in gun companies. That's a cynical commentary, isn't it?
It's sick. Last question for you. Last question.
Yeah,
do you think when all these politicians put out their Christmas cards with their and their whole family holding assault weapons, that's helping or hurting?
It's not helping. No, it's not helping. Because you can take a strong stand and be compassionate about it. But the concept of in your face, I don't like that. I don't like that confrontation on, I'm not a confrontation person. But yeah, it's not helpful to stand there with your assault weapon under the Christmas tree. No.
Don't we have a right in this country to not have a gun or not have a gun waved in our face?
Any constitutional right that a person has, you have the right to not be infringed upon, right? So, for example, if I don't want to have a gun, then you can't make me have a gun.
Yeah.
We have the right to safety, and that's part of the balancing. You can invoke whatever constitutional provision you want, so long as it does not operate in conflict with one of mine. And life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that seems pretty fundamental.
Well, and it does. Unfortunately, though, here's where life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness butts up against the Second Amendment, because right. The Second Amendment annihilated life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness yesterday.
Exactly.
So, but right now we're getting ready for SCOTUS to weaken those laws even more.
Yeah. We just keep waiting for more answers. And I think people need to speak passionately but respectfully. And that's the only way to get it done.
Jeff Stein, once again, Iowa Politics Report. I'll post a little bit later. Thanks, Jeff. Hour 2, that's coming up next with Aaron Maquaid.